Turn to Jonah chapter 2. Jonah chapter 2 is our second lesson from Jonah chapter 2. It's not distinct from the second, from the first lesson. It's really just a carryover. So if you want to turn there, and after you find Jonah, I'm going to also ask you to look at Psalm 130. But before we start, I want to ask the Lord to be with us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, the one on whom you poured out all that we owed, all that was due to us, and who gave in return all the obedience we could never give, that we failed to give out of rebellion and out of our sinfulness. And we pray, Lord, that you would cause us to see him clearly and come to you on the basis of his work and his goodness, your grace to us and him, and come boldly, because we have many needs, needs for much grace from you. And we pray, Lord, you'd be with those who are attending on the Zoom meeting. We pray that you would be with Jimmy and Jamie and help Jimmy as he's recovering from his eye surgery and as he faces so many difficulties. And give Jamie the patience and the love for him, and help her to, as a mother, guide him in the things of the Lord. Thank you for your grace to us as a congregation. We pray that you'd be with our families and our and all of us together. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. In Psalm 130, it says this, "Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord." Out of the depths. I say that because I point you to this verse because this is a place we find ourselves. The depths. Psalm 130, "Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord." Jonah found himself in the depths. And the depths are a metaphor for, in Jonah's case, being in the sea, in the fish's belly. In Jesus' case, being under the wrath of God. And in our own case, the depths of our guilt and our broken fellowship with God that we sense at times. And that broken fellowship, that lack of communion, pains us. Sense of our guilt causes us great desperation, and we cry out as someone who's under the waves, the sea, and like Jonah in the belly of the whale. So here, out of the depths, the sinner, the believing sinner, cries to the Lord Jesus Christ and says, "Out of the depths have I cried to thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice." What grace it is that God hears sinners for Christ's sake. "Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications," pouring out his heart, his need for God. That's what supplications are. I'm supplicating God. "If thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared." The only way we will truly fear God is knowing that we've been forgiven for Christ's sake, and that causes our scalp to tingle to the very core of who we are, to know that we sinned against God, and at the cost of his own son, God has forgiven us freely for his sake. So now, if you turn to Jonah chapter 2, you know what has happened at this point. God sent Jonah to Nineveh. Jonah rebelled and turned away and went in a boat to Tarshish. The Lord sent a storm on the sea. Jonah with the mariners was in the storm. They were all about to perish. The boat was about to be broken up. The mariners cried to their idols. They found Jonah. They asked him who he was. They learned that he was a man of God, that he feared God. He belonged to the Lord, the God of the Israelites, the God of glory. And so they asked him, "What should we do?" And Jonah told them, "God's will. You have to throw me in, so that the sea may be calm to you." It was substitution. And he willingly substituted himself for those sailors, those mariners on that ship. And as soon as he was cast in, the sea was made calm. And then the mariners feared God. They knew then that Jonah's God was the true God, and they called upon him, and they made vows, and they worshiped him. And so they learned to fear God because of the testimony of Jonah, because of this testimony of substitution. So now we find it in the last verse of chapter 1. The Lord had prepared a great fish. God prepared a word for Jonah. God prepared the storm. God prepared a fish to swallow Jonah. Now God's going to tell the fish with him in the fish's belly. He's going to leave that man, Jonah, in that fish's belly 3 days and three nights. So it says, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Notice in all this that Jonah rebelled and God brought the consequences of his rebellion on him. The consequences weren't just wrath. They weren't the consequences of destroying him. They were the consequences that would do two things. Number one, they would irresistibly bring him to do what God had given him to do. And number two, it would point to Christ, who did suffer the wrath of God in order to take God's wrath from us. And so we see both of these in Jonah. It's amazing. God could have used anybody here. He could have found an obedient prophet, I would suppose. He could have found someone much more pliable. But he found this man who was obstinate, a man who was rebellious, a man who hated the people he was sent to preach to, a man who was angry with God for what he did in showing them mercy. And you can see that God always gets his way. If it had not been the Lord, look at Psalm 124. Psalm 124, I'll read this with you. If it hadn't been the Lord, where would we be? Psalm 124, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. When the waters had overwhelmed us, the stream had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord who hath not given us a prey to their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. If it hadn't been for the Lord, if God hadn't reserved for himself a very small remnant, then we would have been destroyed like Sodom and Gomorrah. If God hadn't turned Jonah, then he would have never had mercy on Jonah. But God did have mercy on him. In Acts chapter 5 and Acts chapter 11, it says that the Gentiles were given more mercy. They were given repentance. Christ from his throne sent them his spirit and turned them by a preacher unto himself and gave them repentance. And so Jonah is turned. But Jonah was not just a man sent to preach who was... The lesson is not just about a man who was avoiding preaching and was turned and then did the job. It was about a man who himself was a prophet. In all that God did to him, it was God's message of Christ and him crucified. And so we have chapter 2 here. He's in the belly of the fish and he cries to the Lord. Notice this, chapter 2, verse 1. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. Jonah prayed. Why did he pray? Because he only had one hope. He prayed because he needed God. He needed salvation. So he prayed. And he prayed to the Lord, Jehovah, his God, the Lord Jesus Christ, his God. He prayed to his God, the Lord Jesus Christ, out of the fish's belly. That was what God had put him in. He cried out of the affliction God put him under, the affliction that came upon him for sin. And it says here, he said, I cried by reason of mine affliction. He cried to the Lord. It was because he was afflicted. And he heard me. That's amazing grace. God heard this man. When God had afflicted him, God heard him. Of course, God knew that the affliction would cause this prayer. He knew that he would give him that grace so that his heart would be turned to the Lord, that he would call in his trouble. In Psalm chapter 50 and verse 15, let me read that to you. In Psalm 50:50 and verse 15. I like these verses because they teach us as sinners to do as God brought Jonah to do. It says in Psalm 50 verse 15, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee and thou shalt glorify me. We're objects of mercy. That's how we glorify God. We call, he saves, We are objects of His mercy, trophies of His saving grace. Call upon me. What a promise. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. The trouble that Jonah was in was his own dumb fault. But it was for God's purpose. The immediate cause was his own sin. But the larger cause was God's salvation in Christ. And so Jonah, like us, we live our lives. We experience the immediate weakness and frustrations and failures and the results of our own foolishness. And we're completely overtaken by these things. They occupy all of our mind and all of our energy, just going day to day, living. And we don't realize the larger purpose that God has in view so much of the time. But when we're enabled, when we're at the bottom and we cry, then God lifts our eyes up to His eternal purpose in Christ, and we see that even our trouble is just a vehicle for God to glorify Himself in our salvation. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and then you shall glorify me. We give Him willing praise at that point, and He gets praise because He did it. He points to His work and say, see, this is a good work. The Lord did it. So, back to Jonah 2, verse 2. He said, I cried by reason of mine affliction to the Lord, and He heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. The belly of hell, who could think of a worse place? I can't. I don't think there's a worse place. He, Jonah, thought he was in the belly of whale, of hell, in the belly of hell. In fact, this is the way God describes his condition. He was under the water, in the fish, weeds wrapped around his head, with no hope. And there, was there air for him to breathe these words? I doubt it. I doubt that he was able to actually breathe them out. God hears us no matter where we are. Now that's the simple truth, but it's a comforting thing, isn't it? No matter where we are, in the darkness, whether we're speaking in our heart or speaking out of our heart with our mouth, God hears us. Let me read some of Psalm 139 to you along these lines as well. Psalm 139, I'm sure that you have heard this psalm many times. It says in verse 1, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. The Lord knows our weakness, doesn't He? He knew what we were when He saved us. When we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He knew that we were sinners. He knew we had no contribution. He knew that He would have to do all the saving. He knew that He would have to overcome our opposing will and our ignorance and our unbelief. He knew He would have to turn us and give us a new heart. He knew all that. And then He says in verse 3, Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. You know everything about me, whether I'm going forward, backwards, sideways, upside down. You know everything about me. The Lord is never surprised by our sin. He's never surprised by our cold heart. He knows us. And He always takes notice of His work when He gives us grace to look to Christ. Verse 4, For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid Thine hand upon me. This is in a saving way. In front of us, behind us, and upon us, the Lord has His hand. That's true of all of God's people. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain to it. Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit? Or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? Jonah couldn't get away from God. Not even in the belly of the fish. If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from Thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to Thee. Because God sees, then we are saved, you see. Then He takes care of us for Christ's sake. For Thou hast possessed my reins, my inward parts. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance yet being unperfect before I was fully formed. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there were none of them. God had it all mapped out before I was even fully formed. How precious also are thy thoughts to me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Amazing, isn't that? God, who is above all and should take no account of the things on earth, knows my every thought and all my ways and set me before and behind. He knows, he's familiar with me, and he's done it all for my salvation. And so out of the belly of hell, in the fish's belly, far from any man, far from the ear of any man, God heard Jonah cry. Cry unto me, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will answer thee, I will hear you, I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. Here it is. He cried, he was heard. Amazing grace. Have you ever called to your mom or someone you loved and they didn't answer you? You were heartbroken. Maybe mom can't hear me. I'll cry louder. And you know how it goes with kids. Mom! All the way through the house. Doesn't matter where she's at. We don't care what she's doing. How busy she is. I want you now. And so the sinner cries to God, and God, as if you're the only person he has to listen to, he hears us. That is grace. He brought us low, he raises us up. He brings the poor out of the dust. He brings the beggar out of the dunghill and sets him among princes. This is God, God and his grace. So what we see here, what do we see? Let's go on reading through it here first. He said in verse 3, thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Notice, they're God's waves. They're God's billows. They're God's floods. And God cast him, who was his prophet, into that deep. It's all the Lord's doing. Our trouble is at God's hand. Hell is open before him. Death and the grave answer to God. And so we're going to see here in a minute what happened. The Lord spoke to the fish. He said, here, swallow up this man. Now spit him out. Hold him for 3 days, 3 nights. Now spit him out. All these troubles that come upon us, they're all under God's hand. So who should we cry to? The one who holds us in his hand and the one who chastens us with these things. Verse 4, then I said, I'm cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. See here the grace of God. This man who had no hope, who was helpless, who was as good as dead, if not dead, in the grave of the fish's belly, no hope, no way out. He's going to stay under the depths of the sea, the bars of the earth all about him. Yet, though he's cast out of God's sight, he says, I will look again toward thy holy temple. That's trust, isn't it? He trusts God no matter what. What else will he do? God's given him that grace. Verse 5, the waters compassed me about even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountain. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. Even at the gates of death, even in corruption, God brought up his life. This is speaking about the resurrection, isn't it? God raises the dead. That's his glory. He raises the dead. Jonah's talking about what already happened. He's in the fish's belly. He speaks about his salvation as a done thing, as something in the past. Because he knows God's grace to him is certain and sure. Verse 7, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee. Why did he remember? He was dying. Well, he remembered because God sent him a remembrance. He remembered the Lord. Have you ever noticed that? You're going along and you find yourself, you're stressing out over this and that and the other thing, and it's been days, and suddenly you remember the Lord and you call to Him. That's grace. That's grace from the throne. He remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. In other words, idolaters. Those who trust in anyone but Christ forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice to thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Now, notice here that this is got to be speaking of more than Jonah. More than Jonah. Jesus said, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the heart of in the fish's belly, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. So what happened to Jonah is telling us this is what happened in prophecy to Christ. So now we need to look at it this way. And from this way, primarily. I want to take you to a few of the Psalms, and I want you just to take note of how the Psalms open up in so many places. Start with Psalm 22. Notice how the Psalm opens up. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? He's not like, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. No, he's roaring. He is in trouble, and there's only one to help, and he doesn't feel like he's heard, so he roars. Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. Now Psalm 28. Unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock, be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. You see how he cries? Psalm chapter 31. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. You see that? Look at Psalm 35. Psalm 35. Plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive against me, or strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler and stand up for my help. He's asking the Lord to be his hero, to stand in front of him and defend him. Draw out also the spear, not just defenses, offenses too. Draw out the spear and stop the way against them that persecute my soul, and say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. This is the heart of the child of God. But look at some more here. I want to take you to several of these. Look at Psalm chapter 40. Psalm 40. You can just go through and just note, just read the first two verses of the Psalms, and you'll see how many of them are like this. Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me, and he heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise to our God. Many shall see it in fear, and shall trust in the Lord. And now look over at Psalm 42. Psalm 42. As the hart or the deer panteth as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say to me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the wicked. I've gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. And he goes on in that psalm. Look at Psalm chapter, let's see, I could read several. Let's try, we could read Psalm 51. Remember that one? Psalm 51. How about Psalm 54? Psalm 54. Save me, O God, by thy name, and judge me by thy strength. Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth. You see that? How about Psalm 55? Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplications. Attend to me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. These people, this man who's praying here, he's not bashful. He's not reluctant. He roars out of his sorrow, out of his complaint, out of his trouble, because God brought it upon him. God allowed these enemies. God allowed this despondency. God raised the need in him because God cut off the sense of his presence. And these things drove him to despair, and he cried to the Lord. Look at Psalm chapter 60. O God, thou hast cast us off. Thou hast scattered us. Thou hast been displeased. O, turn thyself to us again. You see that? Look at Psalm 57. Psalm 57, going backward. Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. I will cry to God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. We could just go on and on. You just go through the psalm and you can note these things. Look at Jeremiah chapter 17. Take another prophet, not just Jonah, but Jeremiah chapter 17. Notice how Jeremiah prays in verse 17. Chapter 17, verse 17. He's praying out of his trouble. Terror is coming upon him. And notice what he does. Be not, this is Jeremiah 17, 17. Be not a terror unto me. Thou art my hope in the day of evil. Can you pray that? Lord, don't be a terror to me. You are my hope. He's pouring out his complaint, his fear, the trouble of him, and he's expressing his trust. He's expressing his trust in God. Look at Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. See the fault God charges Israel with in contrast to Jeremiah or the psalmist. Psalm Isaiah chapter 9, Isaiah 9 verse 13. For the Lord, it says, for the people turneth not unto him that smiteth them, neither do they seek the Lord of hosts. God had brought affliction upon them. What was their response? They didn't turn to him. They didn't seek him. Why did Jonah? Why did Jeremiah? Why does the psalmist throughout? Because God gave them the grace to see that the Lord was their only salvation, even though he was the one who brought the trouble upon them. It's just like a child when he is chastised by his parents, and that child buries his face into his mother or in his father's chest. So he comes to the one who is chastising him, and he says, you're all I have. I know that you do this, and it's right that you do, but my trust is in you. I am depending on your love. I need you. He cries. He doesn't hold back. He lets it all out. Now, understand that these prayers that Jonah prayed were a prophecy of what the Lord Jesus Christ prayed. Let me just remind you of some things that Scripture has said. He himself bore our sorrows. Our sorrows. He said, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death, to his disciples when he was in Gethsemane. Why was he sorry? What had he done to be sorry for? Nothing. He was sorrowful because of the affliction he was experiencing in his soul because he took our sorrows. But why were we sorrowful? Because of our sin. And Christ took our sin, and therefore he bore the consequences, the sorrows for it. So that when he cried out, he was crying out of his own sorrow because of our sin. And because he cried out and he was holy, he feared God. He trusted God. He cried with a holy prayer. He prayed according to God's will to save him. He was under the depths. He was in the grave. He was he went to death. He experienced all that those men who crucified him brought upon him. And he experienced in his soul all that God afflicted him with. Thou hast in faithfulness afflicted me. And yet he justifies his God. He clears his name. You are holy. And so we see this prayer of Jonah has got to be a prophecy of Christ's prayer because of our sin. He took our place. And having taken our place, and having prayed, he prayed for himself. But note, he did not pray just for himself. He was there as our high priest. And the Lamb of God, expressing from his heart the pain and the suffering and the sorrows of the forsaking of God and the shame of our sins and the mocking and the cruelty of those who hated him, even though he did all that was right, they hated him. Remember it says in 1 Peter? He did no sin, and yet when he was reviled, he reviled not again. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, it says, even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile or hypocrisy in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but he committed himself, he entrusted himself to God to save him, to him that judges righteously. This is coming upon me from God. Then the Lord is merciful. He's just. He will do what's right. And he trusted himself to his Father. So in that holy fear and trust that Christ had, when he prayed, he was heard. Look at Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, in verse 7, it says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears, strong crying, and tears. That sounds like the psalmist throughout. It sounds like Jonah, doesn't it? Like Jeremiah. He offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears to him that was able to save him from death. And he was heard in that he feared. He was a holy man. He was without sin, without guile. He had no sin. He did no sin. He knew no sin. He was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. He feared God. He feared to do anything that was opposed to his God, the will of God, or the ways of God. God was holy. He knew that what was coming upon him was God's will. He submitted to it willingly, trusting his God. He was the only one he could trust. He had cast upon him from his mother's womb. He was always with him. And so he feared. And because he feared, he was heard. This is very important. Christ was heard. And he didn't cry because of his own sins, though they were made his, or his own sorrows, though they were his sorrows, but they were ours. He took them from us. And so when he prayed and was heard, we were heard. Our sins were removed. The chains of death that were about him were taken away. He was raised again. God delivered him, just like God delivered Jonah from the fish's belly. He heard him. God hears us because he heard his son. He heard his son, and he hears all those he stood for. Jesus didn't, a high priest doesn't act for himself. It says every high priest is taken from among men and ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer gifts and sacrifices for sin. He acted for us because of our sins towards God. But as the Lamb of God, he also bore all that he experienced as our substitute. He's our substitute. He's our forerunner, our captain. His prayers were heard. He believed God. He feared God. He was holy. And God heard him. And God raised him from the dead. And because he was heard, we are heard. Now, also, we also learn this from Jonah here in chapter 2. That there's never a time when we cannot trust God. There's never a time when we should not trust God. We should trust him at all times. Even in the worst of circumstances, never go inward into the dark. Always go upward into the light. Call upon God. He says, call upon me in the day of trouble. Trouble is given to us to show us our need and to make us dependent upon him. I was turning to a psalm. Now I forgot which one I was turning to. These things are given to us by God in order that we would learn from Christ what to do in trouble. Remember Job? Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. The people don't call upon him who smites them. They don't turn to him. They don't seek the Lord. And Jeremiah said, Lord, don't be a terror to me, as you are my hope. And the psalmist throughout cries, oh my God, save me. Oh my God, save me. Hear me. Don't turn a deaf ear to me. Lord, I cry. And these are the prayers of the Lord Jesus. Now look at Psalm chapter 22. Psalm chapter 22. I want to take you to this. We know this is a prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ, don't we? Psalm 22. This is what Jesus uttered from the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And he calls upon him. But notice, I want you to look further on in this psalm at verse 30. Psalm 22, verse 30. Read this psalm. See his trust. He trusted God when there was no evidence because he knew his God was faithful. But look at Psalm 22, verse 30. A seed shall serve him. It shall be counted to the Lord for a generation. Isn't that amazing? Who is the one praying in the psalm? The Lord Jesus Christ. In prophecy, David writes of Christ here, and he fulfilled it on the cross. But here now he says, a seed, the one praying, the one afflicted, the one who was heard, says, a seed shall serve him, it shall be counted to the Lord for a generation. This man served God. This man was heard. And this man was counted to the Lord for all of the people of God. All that he did for them. And many other psalms are like, and many other things are like that. Just remember the gospel. What is the gospel? Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. We're saved because he was heard, and we learn to pray just like him in trouble. We expect God to hear us because he heard Christ for us. We expect God to hear us because his character and nature towards us is a character and nature of grace. Because he had grace and mercy on us in Christ. We expect God to hear us because this is his promise. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. What an amazing promise. One more verse and then we'll quit. Look at Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah 53 and verse 10. You know what Isaiah 53 is about. Listen to this. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. Even though he had no deceit, even though he had done no wrong, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Isaiah 53, verse 10. He, the Father, God the Father, hath put him to grief when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. God's delight, his will, is going to be successful because of Christ. He put it into the hand of his son and he made it successful. Look at verse 11. He shall see of the travail of his soul. How did his soul travail? Well, in many ways we don't understand, but one way we do understand. He cried He prayed. Jonah, chapter 2. He shall see the travail of his soul, and he shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Now, focus on verse 12. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. This is God giving to Christ everything, and he giving it to the church. Because he has poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and notice, and he made intercession for the transgressors. How did he do that? Well, when he said things like, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Or when he said to the soldiers, if you seek me, then let these go their way. Or when he was mocked on the cross, and they said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. Well, of course not. He couldn't save them unless he gave himself to death. But he also prayed in this way. When he cried because of our sin and our sorrows laid on him, and God heard him, then God released us. Full remission was made. Full payment was accepted by God, and God released us. We were redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. And when the high priest went into the holiest of all, what did he do first? He put the incense up, and then he offered his blood, the blood of the animal. So Christ, first crying out of his soul's anguish, offering up his prayers for his people in his own salvation for them. And God heard his prayers, and God accepted his blood, and God justified him and raised him from the dead. This is our salvation, isn't it? This is the basis for our cry. We cry because our forerunner, our captain of our salvation was heard. Our intercessor, he sits in heaven now interceding for us, but while he was on earth, he was still interceding for us. There was never a time when the Lord Jesus Christ did not do what he did for his people towards his Father. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your mercy towards us, that you've given us a high priest, a mediator, a surety, a substitute, one to go before us, one to stand for us, one to plead our cause, one who was heard, one who was holy, one who feared, one who trusted, one who did all that was right. And even when he suffered for doing right, he never complained, but committed himself to the Lord who judges rightly, who judges all things right. He trusted in the Lord. There's mercy in no other, salvation in no other. And Lord, so we come to you now, knowing that in ourselves we are sinful. Our bodies are dead because of sin. And we have a sinful nature. We can't deliver ourselves from our sin, a guilt of our sin, or our nature of sin. We can't deliver ourselves from death. But we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that in his stripes, in his death, we were healed and we were raised. Our sinful selves died with him, so that we're raised to live to God in him and by him. And so we come, Lord, trusting in his merit, in his pleading, in his intercession. And we trust, Lord, that these words would move us because of how much he bore for us, and move us because we have warrant by his example and his prayers in trouble, that we can pray in all of our troubles and come boldly to the throne of grace by his blood, looking to how our Savior prayed in his trouble. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.